Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now I play for New England. I'm the quarterback, you moron.
Not like a duplex, but like a hood duplex, you know.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Put some respect on my name. You understand me?
Landry Locker and John Lopez.
And by the way, some people agree, but some people,
nobody agrees with you on that.
Let me finish. The majority are disagreeing with you.
The majority, nobody agrees with you.
They absolutely do.
Show me one. Read one.
Okay, here's the thing, though. One of the complaints.
Some people agree. Okay, read one.
This is In the Loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.
Sports Radio 610.
Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line. And Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! L.A. will play for the Lombardi!
Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
Good day, Loopholes. Good day, H-Town in the Loop, episode 157. John Lopez on vacation, like many of you are. Appreciate you for listening. I'm joined by Baytown's finest, the one, the only, the man that can rock denim better than anybody this side of the Mississippi, my man Clint Sterner.
What's going on, fellas? Everybody good?
Very good. How can you not be good after yesterday? Figgy Fig keeping us on the air, by the way, but yesterday lived up to the hype. It seems like there's been a lot of games, big events where they don't live up to the hype. Yesterday, you got a two-piece combo of overtime championship football, Clint, and I could not be happier to be here with you on an Overreaction Monday.
Isn't it great, man? The NFL just, I tell people all the time, I don't know if it's because I'm covering the Texans more with you guys here on a weekly basis or if it's just a season where the NFL just keeps on giving. It seems like it, whether you're breaking down a great quarterback play or you're breaking down great moments or high scoring offenses or good defenses or OT games. I mean, it just keeps on giving and giving and giving. And it's a beautiful thing right now to be, have the opportunity to come in here and get paid to talk about it.
It is. It's the best job in the world. I don't think anyone can question that. It's a privilege to get to talk to all the people in Houston. We know you have choices, but we appreciate you being with us. 20 minutes, we're going to talk about what everybody else is talking about. We're going to hear the crying and whining coming out of New Orleans. I think it's a little bit extreme. I think they can also blame themselves instead of just blaming the referees. We'll get into that. We're also going to hear from Baker Mayfield at 10:40. John Lopez is going to call in at 12:40, but this is just going to be heavy NFL Championship Sunday. Clint, your biggest takeaway yesterday, outside of the call that wasn't, what was your biggest takeaway and the thing that raised your eyebrows the most?
Well, you took the one instance out of play that I was going to use, but and obviously that's the main one. But you know, I think the big thing is just the fact that everybody they write off Brady every year, right?
I'm guilty of it, bro.
And then at some point they're going to be right, and we're going to have to listen to all these, well, I told you so. And what the guy does is just absolutely amazing. And from an old school quarterback, from that mindset, I mean, what he has done it with again, there's actually a clip out there where he's telling, I believe it's Hogan. Hogan, I don't know, like, you can't tell who's saying what, but you can hear the audio. And one of them says, I'm too old. And another one says, I'm too slow. We don't have a defense and we still win games. You know, we did it again. We're going back to the Super Bowl. So I think the way in which the Patriots do it,
dude,
I think it blows my mind, Landry. And I think it's something, dude, that in all of the sports world, we don't talk about enough because of the Brady factor, I think, and how just how big of a star he has become. It's always about Brady. And when you really sit down and you see how Belichick's winning games and what they're doing it with, It's absolutely mind-blowing, man, and it's hard to believe, and it's fun to watch.
It's insane because the thing about Tom Brady that separates him from other quarterbacks is that Peyton Manning, for instance, everybody knows how great Peyton Manning was, but it was almost like he did it one certain way, and as soon as he was unable to do that, you saw his play drop off significantly when he came into his 40s. Like in Denver the last year, he was basically a game manager, and he would rather do what he was doing in his prime. Patriots are running like 21 personnel like 75% of the time now. They ran for 176 yards yesterday and held the Chiefs to 41 yards. They have, it's like they can, it's like whatever they need to do, they do it and they're able to do it. They held Kansas City, Clint. If I would have told you that the Patriots would hold the Kansas City Chiefs in the first half of an AFC championship game in Kansas City to 32 yards in the first half and Tyreek Hill would have one catch, what would you have told me before that game?
You're a lie. There's no way that's going to happen. You could have stopped at just the goose egg, right? I mean, you could have stopped there, not to mention the stats that you just threw out there. I'm torn between the fact that I want to say I told you so with Kansas City and the, you know, taking the 14 yard sack and struggling in the first half and extreme elements when you're, essentially one dimensional throwing the football and that's what you rely on, the big play and, kind of a gimmicky offense. But then you flip the coin and Brady on the other side and the Patriots on the other side are just so good at doing whatever it takes to win. The crazy thing, Landry, is you watch that Patriots game and at, when they were up 17-14, it was Belichick's approach was let's milk the clock. We got the football. If we can drive down and get points, we make it at least a touchdown game. You know, and then all of a sudden when they lost the lead, they just mashed the gas pedal and went to scoring points and moving the football and taking more risk with the ball. Their ability to change approach given the situation, the current situation, and at the drop of a hat, just change the entire approach and do it extremely well is baffling. And again, the fact that they do it in an eighth AFC championship game, is just mind blowing.
And this is something else that's mind blowing. On the other end of things, you got the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams able to beat the Saints in overtime. We'll get a little bit more specifically into that. But Sean McVay, this SOB is about to turn 33 years old. You know what he was doing when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl? The opposing quarterback, that he's going to see in the Super Bowl. You know what Sean McVay was doing when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl?
No, what was it?
It was a sophomore in high school. He was taking the driving test, trying to get his whip and roll around.
Right, right. Doing God knows what.
What was your
wheel.
First whip, by the way, out there in Baytown?
Man, I had an extended cab step side pickup.
What is Arkansas paying you or something or what?
No. This is before Arkansas, man. This was coming. I was the youngest of two. My brother was one. He kind of got dad's old cast off, and then the second best cast off was something that I wasn't going to drive. So mom and dad, they bought one about 6 months before I turned 16 and they ended up driving that around.
Do you feel like it almost seems like this Sean McVay and I think Jared Goff had a damn good game yesterday because, you know, of all the quarterbacks they were talking about, it seems like he was getting the less attention. Sean McVay, it seems like it's like a perceived notion that the Rams are more of a system. You know, Mahomes
That's
gets
fair.
The credit, Brady gets the credit, but it just seems like, you know, I'll go back to like Texas Tech Air Raid in like the mid 2000s. It almost seems like for whatever reason, people look at Jared Goff almost as a system quarterback. But I mean, the dimes he was throwing yesterday, I don't think there's too many that could have done what he did. But I don't know how you feel about it.
But no, I mean, I think that's definitely the system is a huge advantage, and it's that way in all systems. I mean, all winning football teams, all high calibered offenses, they have a very good system in place, a very good scheme in place, and usually a very good play caller in place. In Peyton Manning's case, it was him on the field essentially being able to,
yep,
to get them into the right play and out of negative plays. But nonetheless, you've got somebody driving that ship that's really, really good at scheming and play calling and timing and situational football. And the Rams are exactly that. I'll say this. I think that the Rams yesterday, that was the most, in a funk I've ever seen that offense. And so the Saints really missed on an opportunity to take advantage of that. I think the scheming was not as good as it typically has been.
Breeze wasn't as accurate either. He missed a few guys.
They weren't running the football. They weren't. No, I'm talking about the Rams. They weren't running the football as well. They were struggling getting the ball to their big play receivers, and he looked out of sorts. He looked out of sorts. He looked like the pressure was bothering him a little bit. He was second guessing some of his reads and getting through some of his progression. So Goff was out of sorts. But like you said, there was four or five times through the game where he made big time throws. Everybody's talking about the long one to Cooks. He throws one over the middle and it was a dig. And I believe it was
Everett?
It was either Everett or the kid out of A&M.
Reynolds.
And I'm talking, it was a dig route, and I'm talking about it was gas. I mean, it was so beautiful. It's one of those things where Goff, when he came in the league, was a long stroke guy. So even when he was putting a lot of heat on the ball, it seemed like he was really digging back to get that arm strength and to get that velocity. This was one of those throws where he just whipped it out real quick, and it was hot. It was on time. It was accurate. And that's when you go, wow, this kid's really special. He was out of sorts, but he made four or five big time throws that kept him in the game and gave him a chance to win.
And it also seems strange that Todd Gurley, I don't know if he's just not right, hurt, or what, but as good as C.J. Anderson's been, as good of a story as that is, taking him straight from Golden Corral to the football field in the playoffs, Todd Gurley, for whatever reason, isn't on the field as much. And you know better than anybody. I mean, you were at the SEC Network when Gurley was in college. Like, that's a guy, that's a workhorse back. That's what you want. So something has to not be right with Todd Gurley.
Yeah, something's got to not be right for him to not be on the field. I mean, he's the best back in the league when you're talking about a three down back that can run up between the tackles, that's got the speed to get out wide, that catches it well out of the backfield. Not only does he catch it well out of the backfield, he's a big target. Long arm target with a big catch window. I mean, he's a guy that when he's off the field, this offense is tenfold less dynamic. I mean, it, at the end of the day, they know that Foles is going to be the one that Goff is going to be the one that has to make the play, sit in the pocket and drive the football down the field. Where when he's on the field, I mean, it the playbook is wide open. So I was baffled that he was back on the field in OT, because the fourth quarter, it was C.J. Anderson. You're just thinking, why is he not even in the mix?
It's almost like he's on a pitch count or something like that. Like, it's almost like he's, like, you know, when a basketball player's hobbled, like Mike D'Antoni or something will put him on a 20-minute limit. It almost seems like he's on, like, a snap limit or something like that. It's weird because he goes in and sometimes he looks like himself. Against the Cowboys, like, C.J. Anderson's mashed him, but then Gurley comes in there and scores a touchdown. Like, it's almost like they have him on some sort of pitch count or something. It's weird.
It's crazy. At one point, of course, I was watching it with the family in Baytown, and I got cousins behind me dog cussing Gurley because he's not on the field. You know, Gurley's all on his, all of them picked him in their NFL. What do you call it? The little DraftKings or whatever.
Oh yeah, DraftKings.
So they all had Gurley, and Gurley's not on the field at all in the fourth quarter. And then I got my mom about 10 Miller Lights in over here to my right, arguing with my little cousin about who's better looking, J.J. Watt or Rob Gronkowski. And I'm like,
who'd she go with?
What in the hell?
Who'd mama go with, Gronk?
Oh no, mom had J.J. Watt. Oh, yeah. Mom's, and she to the point where she's over there screenshotting pictures of him on her phone and going, you think this guy's better looking than this guy? Are you kidding me? Of course, as she's telling me, he'll get another Miller Lite. So, it was a fun night, but nonetheless, we did notice that Gurley was not on the field, as much as he typically is, especially in the fourth quarter and in the second half.
Your mama's sipping that Miller Lite. You know, you never mess with a woman who drinks Budweiser. If a girl's drinking Bud Heavy, you got to stay away from her.
Yeah, she's drinking Bud Heavy. I'm out in all senses of the phrase. I'm done. I'm out.
Get out the house. Shout out to my granny. Rest in peace. She was big on the Bud Heavy. Coming up next, should Texans fans be happy that the Patriots won? And there's a lot of whining coming out of New Orleans. Is it validated? We'll get in that next In the Loop with Landry Locker, Clint Sterner, and Figgy.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.